decided to kill Lazarus too. When I was growing up, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes it was said that birds of a feather flock together. Y'all might have heard that. I'm going to tell you, I'm from the old schools. Oh, they would say things like, you can judge a person's character by the company they keep. Now, oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, when that was said with negative connotations or implication. And certainly, there's a certain amount of truth to that. I mean, after all, you know, there are many people found themselves in precarious situations because they're in the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people. Can I get a witness on that? There are people who are in jail today because they're in the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people. And they got caught up because who they were associated with. One of the chief criticisms my brother and sister made against Jesus was the type of people who were around him. You know, after all, the Pharisees had a, when they looked at Jesus and began to criticize him, one of the ways they judged him is by the type of people that hung around Jesus. People like Alex Sullivan. There was Levi, called Matthew, who was a former tax collector, and all his buddies. We find it in Luke 5, the 5th chapter, verse 27 to 30, who the Pharisees calls scum. Now think about that. They judged Jesus based on his company he kept. Now I know we may not do that today, but they did Jesus. In fact, it says here, in Luke, later as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, sitting in his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Guilty by association. We find also that Jesus was, when the woman who anointed his feet with expensive perfume, we find that in Luke 7:39. Many others whom the Pharisees deemed to be sinners, the very people that Jesus came. The Pharisees says that Jesus' character was on display by the people he hung around with. We find also, too, that we sometimes judge people wrongly by the people they hang around with. And finally, so when hearing this, and so when I was studying this scripture today, this past scripture, I began to ask the question to myself. I can understand, my brothers and sisters, why the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus. Because after all, Jesus come along and was turning everything upside down. So you got to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Jesus didn't fit their mold. Jesus come along and was healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. Jesus come here and making people that who have been out, disenfranchised, showing them love and value. Yet, he was criticized as a result. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, verses chapter 11, verses 18 through 19, it says, for John, you know, John the Baptist, he didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and they accused John of having a demon. You know, some people just can't win. You just can't win. Yet the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by his results. See, some people, my brothers and sisters, you just can't please no matter what you do. There's nothing you can do to please them, yet Jesus was upsetting the religious order, and he had to be stopped. In fact, legalism is most threatened by spiritual freedom. Even in the 21st century, legalism is threatened whenever God's people experience freedom in Christ. See, we like to, when people like to control people the way they think and act, and God comes along and free us, we become guilty by association. But again, I can understand why the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus, but why Lazarus though? Come on now. Why Lazarus? Chaplain, why Lazarus? I can understand, okay, you got in for Jesus, but why Lazarus? Well, let me just come in on Lazarus, because I did go to seminary, and they say, if you're going to talk about somebody, do some biographical study on that individual, do some character study, find out about this whoever you're going to talk about. Well, I did. I searched the scriptures about Lazarus, whose name means whom God helps. Okay, Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. I know y'all know this, but I just want to remind us who he was for some people who may not know. Okay, he was the brother of Martha and Mary. Jesus and the disciples enjoyed hospitality at their home, and as a result, people came to hear his teaching. See, when Jesus came through Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and that day, walking was a long way. 2 miles was a long way. So Jesus refreshed himself at the home of Martha and Mary. So therefore, Lazarus was their brother. Yet I searched the scriptures, Pastor, but I was unable to find any recorded word that Lazarus spoke. But they want to kill him. I searched, Pastor. I couldn't find anything. Why Lazarus? Then I went studying the scriptures, and then I realized that apparently Lazarus' only crime was that he got sick and died. That's according to scripture. 11th chapter of John. Lazarus got sick and died. The word, in case, just to remind you what happened, Jesus received word that Lazarus, his friend, was sick. He was sick. And Jesus did not drop everything to run back, like we sometimes do. Jesus stayed where he was. Then the word came to Jesus again that Lazarus had died. So by the time Jesus, my brothers and sisters, get back to Bethany, Lazarus was not only dead, but he had been in the grave 4 days. 4 days, my brothers and sisters. In fact, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. How many times in our lives that, Lord, if you just had been here, these things would not have happened. So Lazarus got sick and he died and he was buried and he was dead for 4 days. In fact, my brothers and sisters, not only he was dead for 4 days, when Jesus came back, and of course he listened to the story, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, show me where he's buried. He told him, roll the stone away, and they protested and said, wait a minute, hold up, Jesus. He's been dead 4 days. By now, he's stinking. In fact, his body began to decay. Lazarus was dead. How many times in our lives we see all hope is lost? By now, Lord, everything I ever had, everything is gone. Always see, like there's no hope. Lazarus is dead in the grave 4 days. And the Bible says, in fact, Martha said, dead man's sister protested, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. The smell will be terrible. You know, sometimes our situation seems like people don't want to come around us because we don't want to be contaminated because the smell, we just don't want to be around that person. But God, in Christ, raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, I don't know what your situation is or may be, but yours can't be worse than Lazarus. Whatever your situation may be going through, it can't be worse than Lazarus. He was dead 4 days. And the Bible says Jesus prayed and he called him out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, my brothers and sisters. And the Bible says, Jesus said, loose him. Take off some grave clothes off of him. Come on now. Loose him. And yet, I've come to realize as I was studying scripture, even when the people knew Lazarus was dead, witnessed him being dead, and saw what God and Christ had done to bring him forth, there's only going to be three responses when God resurrects us in our lives. When people have given up on you, said there's no hope for you, turn their back on you, let me tell you something, going to be three responses you're going to receive. First and foremost, we find I'm in the 11th chapter, but it says here that because some people begin to believe in Jesus because they've seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They could deny the fact that a miracle had occurred. They could deny the fact that something had happened, that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, because the Jews believe in signs and miracles, and here was a miracle they have never seen for a man raised from the dead. They haven't witnessed today. Anybody been raised from your situation? Some people will believe in Jesus because of how God has transformed your life. See, we the only Bible they're going to see. Whether in our workplace, whether they need to see that there is God is real. That he changed our life around. And because they believe, they see it, they will believe in Jesus. Guilty by association. The second response you receive some people, and also finding that 11th chapter, verse 4-6, some people doubt that change is really taking place. You have anybody like that? They always want to remind you of your past, what you used to do, what you used to be. I knew when. You know. 1 Peter 4:4 says, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge in the flood of wild, destructive things they do. So they slander you. Come on now. Now, Peter, somebody knows about being guilty of association. Peter knows something about that. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and Jesus already prophesied that he would deny him 3 times, in Luke 22, we find that somebody pointed Peter out, said, you one of his Jesus disciples, and not me. I'm not guilty by association. Then he warned him once again, some woman pointed him out, young girl. He said, no, not me, And it happened a third time. In fact, the one passage of scripture said he even cursed. I don't know the man. I'm not guilty by association. But that was pre-resurrection. That was before the Holy Spirit came. Because we find in Acts, the 4th chapter, the same Peter, standing before the council, boldly before the council. When they told him, stop preaching the name of Jesus, said, I can't do it. When they began to realize that these men had been built with Jesus, come on now. when God turned your life around. I'm guilty by association. And the third response, reaction you may get. Some people will plot your demise. Stay in the scripture. They won't accept the reality of the power of God to bring hope what seemed to be a hopeless situation. They have given up on you, and even though God has changed your life, they plot your demise. Now, they're not always going to be out front with it, but they whisper little things. Character assassination. The scripture. So here we find that there are three responses to what God had done, Christ had done, and raised Jesus from the dead. Lazarus from the dead. The point is, my brothers and sisters, not everyone celebrate what God is doing in your life. Not everybody gonna celebrate, but that's all right. That's all right. So again, we find here again back to the chapter 12. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too. And so I asked the question, why Lazarus? Lazarus didn't say anything. He didn't probably see no way he preached anything. I saw he done nothing. The man got sick and he died. And God and Christ raised him from the dead. But Lazarus crying though, he was guilty by association. See, my brothers and sisters, when we've been, I've come to realize that we've been attacked in the world. It's not who because of who us, it's because of Christ in us. See, it ain't about us. It ain't about me. It's about the Christ in me. It's who I'm associated with. But they want to kill Lazarus. And of course, verse 11 tell you why. It says, for it was because of him, Lazarus now, that many of the people had deserted him and believed in Jesus. See, Lazarus was living proof that God is real. Lazarus was sitting there, living proof that God in Christ Jesus raised him to death. They couldn't deny the fact that his miracle had taken place. So they said, we ain't got no one to kill Jesus. We got to kill the proof that this happened. See, understand, my brother, so when people see us and God changed our lives around, we're living proof that God is real. We're living proof that I'm guilty by association. You're living proof that God is able. He's able, my brothers and sisters. They had to kill him. It's your job. Understand, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. You've been ridiculed. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. Because if they wasn't doing that, you need to check out your association. Another reason in chapter, John 10 says, 36-38, Jesus says, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. See, they want to kill Jesus because he claimed to be the Son of God. The Pharisees, among other things. But he went on to say, don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. See, we just can't talk about being Christians. Our deeds should line up what we say. It's not only good to love in word, but also in deed and in truth. But he goes on to say, but if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miracles I have done. In other words, he's saying to the Jews at that time, if you don't have to believe in me, but believe in what I do, because if you believe in what I do, you got to believe in me. You can't separate the two. But even if you don't believe in me, then you would know and understand that the Father is in me, I am in the Father. So again, the Jews believed in signs and wonders, and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead was a sure sign that Jesus was sent by God. As followers of Jesus Christ in a fallen world, Jesus let us know, because we are associated with him. In John 15, 18, he says to the disciples and to us as well, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The student is not greater than the master. If the world hates you because you are, you claim to be a child of God, understand this, they hated him first. See, we can rejoice in knowing that. See, by the world's standards, we're guilty by association. As we stand on the word of God in the midst of a perverse generation where anything goes, we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because it is us, the children of God, because who we are in Christ, that we stand in the midst. Not give in to what the worldly system says. Go along just to get along. See, I understand, my brothers and sisters, the world doesn't mind you, or us, should I say, talking about God. I mean, everybody got their own idea who God is. Every religion got their God. You know, they ain't got no problem with you talking about God. The Bible says, James, the demons believe there's a God and tremble. You got folks talk about God and don't even tremble. No fear. But see, they don't got no problem with you talking about God. Just don't mention the name of Jesus. That's what they have a problem with. See, that's where the problem comes in. You know, they can talk about God, this God, but when you mention the name of Jesus, in fact, you guys sometimes, and when I was in the Army, and unfortunately this took place, chaplain, that you had chaplains would pray but would not close in the name of Jesus. You're a Christian. In your name. Who is that? In your name. You put anything in there. In your, who are you talking about? Guilty by association. My brothers and sisters, when I was growing up in Turrell, Arkansas, I know back at my grandmama's story. But you know, at the time, grandma didn't make no sense, but now she make all the sense in the world. My grandmother used to say, I know that I know that I know. That didn't make sense to me as a teenager. I'm thinking, I know, that don't make sense, Grandma. Now, understand this, Brother Pack, I said it to myself. Those words didn't come out of my lips. Because if they had of, I wouldn't be standing here today. Or I'd be seriously maimed. But it makes sense to me. My grandma said, I know that I know that I know. Now, she was no theologian, but something she knew. But see, my brothers and sisters, when I experienced my own Lazarus experience, I'm not saying you've had one. Yeah. See, not every experience is a Job experience, and we do get those as well. But we have a Lazarus experience. When it seems everything that you love, everything you hope for, everything you believed in is gone. See, all hope is lost. And look around, don't have a friend in the world, it seems. Nobody around that you can cry out to. Nobody you can call out to. But God. In my Lazarus experiences, when I was seen to be dead to the world, I was with the counselor. He said, "You're like a man in a boat in the middle of the ocean and nobody's searching for." When you have your Lazarus experience, when I called out to my God, "Lord, if you don't save me, I'm lost. Lord, if you don't keep my mind, Lord, I'm going to lose it. Lord, if you don't come to my rescue, I ain't going to make it." And my God, my Lord, your Savior, came to my rescue. My God, your Savior, ministered to my spirit. My God lifted me up out of my grave. My God took the grave clothes off me. My God said, "Okay, I love you. I'm God, besides me, there's none other." So now I can echo what my grandma said. "I know that I know that I know. I'm guilty by association. I may not be the theologian that I should be, but I know one thing. I know that God is real. I know that he's real." See, you don't have to tell me about my God. He's real. Because if he wasn't real, I would be standing here today, my brothers and sisters. See, when I had my own Lazarus experience, he raised me from the dead, turned my life around, gave me a hope. In America, it is said that in a court of law, a person is innocent, theoretically, until proven guilty. That's what they say. You got to have the preponderance of proof without a shadow of a doubt. That's in the court of law in America. But if the crime I'm charged with is loving and following Jesus, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Brother Jacob, I'm guilty. See, there's no need for a judge or a jury. There's no need to plea bargain. I'm guilty of loving Jesus. Growing up, and Pastor gave me liberty to say it because he said things too similar to this. I used to listen to, we had a songster called Isaac Hayes. And he used to sing a song, "I Stand Accused of Loving You." I'll leave it at that. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. "I Stand Accused. If my crime is loving Jesus, then I'm guilty by association. If that's the crime I'm being charged with." Because my brothers and my sisters, in the world which you live, there are people been martyred and killed just for naming the name of Jesus. Guilty by association. Yet, my brothers and sisters, yet in God's heavenly court, when the accuser, Satan, tries to bring a charge against me for sins I've committed or may have committed, and he brings him before the judge, I'm declared not guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of the living God, who knew no sin, took upon himself my sin and your sin, and nailed it to the cross. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who exchanged my life as his. Jesus, who died on the cross while I was yet sinner, has declared me not guilty. Thanks be to God. They took away my unrighteousness and imputed his righteousness unto me, because his obedience that I can't be obedient to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God through Christ Jesus who gave me right standing with God. I'm happy about that, my brothers and sisters. I'm guilty by association. When they accuse me of the crime of being a child of God, a follower of Christ, I'm guilty. But in the heavenly court, I've been declared not guilty. I'm free in Christ. I'm free in Christ. So again, my brothers and sisters, when you stop to think about it, wherever we may be, as Peter says, when we suffer, because Jesus suffered, when we suffer for righteousness' sake, we should rejoice in the fact, because of who we're associated with, bought by the blood of Jesus. Not long ago, as I come to a close, I heard a sermon titled, "The Reason Why We Sing." When I meditate on the grace and mercy of Almighty God and all that God has done for me in the person work of Jesus Christ, how can I not have a song in my heart? When you stop to think about how good God has been to you, how he's brought you out, how he's kept you, how he's turned your life around, how can you not sing? Whatever song. And the good news is I'm so grateful. I don't have the talent to sing, but I got a song in my heart. And I thank him for it. Every day that God wakes me up, and I look around, I just praise him. And I thank him. And I thank him for this opportunity tonight. If he had told me not too long ago that God in Christ would have me standing here proclaiming his good news, I wouldn't have believed it. But God. I know it's Wednesday night, but every day, it's a good day to praise the Lord. I thank God I gotta wait till Sunday. I just thank God for being here tonight. I thank God for his loving me. I thank God for keeping me. I said I won't sing, and I won't. But I will leave you with the words, the song that resonates with me. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Anybody here know the song? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was anybody in that situation other than me? I was blind, but now I see. Is anybody here can identify what I'm talking about? Can anybody here other than me can say what my grandma used to say? I know that I know that I know. Hey, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Brother Alex, for letting the Lord use you, my brother. Such a joy. Such a joy. Such a joy. Such a joy. Amen. Amen. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for your servant, Minister Alexander Sullivan, Lord. How you use him in such a mighty way, God. Thank you, Lord, that now he knows that he knows that he knows. And God, I know he's not by himself, because, Father, I know there's others in here with us that know that we know that we know. Because you'll come through, God. You'll come through, God. God, continue to bless him. Continue to grow him, oh God. Father, you've got so many great things ahead. It's exciting, Lord God, to know. Thank you for using him in such a marvelous way on tonight to encourage our hearts, Lord God. And Father, May our lives be testimonies that we're guilty by association. Lord, may they see proof of Jesus in our lives. In our lives. Thank you, O God, for speaking to us tonight through your servant. We love you. We bless you. We worship you and adore you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.